Chapter 35. 21:05 hours. November 3rd, 2552. Military calendar. Zeta Dorada system. Orbit near the moon of Onyx. Aboard UNSC Prowler Dusk. Commander Richard Lash supervised the release of the mines. He and Lieutenant Commander Cho monitored the launch bay of the Dusk. The closet-sized chamber behind the tiny observation window had been chilled near absolute zero. The nukes inside had been cycled through three thermal cooldowns and were now the same temperature as interstellar space. The tiny Hornet warheads had been transferred aboard from the Brasidas, a destroyer with extensive damage. Thankfully, Cho had detected the minuscule leak from their reactor and moved off before it irradiated the Dusk's hull. That would have lit them up against the background intrasolar radiation and fatally compromised their stealth ability. "Let her fly," Lash ordered.
"Releasing," Cho whispered.
He grasped the manual override claw, and with supreme concentration, he dropped the warhead. The bay door irised open, and the black egg-shaped Hornet mine dropped from its carrier and, centimeter by centimeter, drifted into space.
"That was the last, sir."
Cho wiped the beads of sweat that had collected on his wrinkled forehead. Cho was technically past the mandatory retirement age in the UNSC Prowler Corps. This was a fact that had been carefully ignored by Captain Iglesias. The UNSC was running out of qualified recruits, and Cho would have been impossible to replace. Lash gave him an approving nod, which was as much praise as the old engineer was ever comfortable with.
"Thank you, sir."
Lash entered the tube to the bridge and pushed off, propelling himself in the null G, somersaulting and then using his legs to brake. He took a moment to compose himself before he opened the hatch. In the last 15 minutes, the Dusk had seeded the space on the dark side of the moon of Onyx with 14 nuclear mines, 30 megaton yield, with vacuum-enhanced loads. Delicate work to stay stealth and get them all deployed on Admiral Patterson's timetable, but they'd done it. All it had cost was the fraying of Lash's already shot nerves. He smoothed his uniform, brushed his thinning hair, took a deep breath, and then spun open the hatch.
"Report,"
he said to Lieutenant Commander Waters. Waters looked up with bloodshot eyes from his display.
"The Admiral has been informed mission accomplished, sir. He's moving the fleet to new coordinates, a high orbit on the bright side of the moon."
Lash examined the system nav map. Patterson was going to use the entire planetoid as cover. He'd need it. The enemy forces still outnumbered them 16 ships to their 4. By any sane measure, it would be suicide to attack that Covenant battle group. The line, however, between sane and not was becoming increasingly blurred in this system. Lash settled in the captain's chair.
"Lieutenant Yang, status?"
"As dark as midnight under a rock, sir."
Lash nodded, pleased at Yang's hyperbole. A little humor was a good sign.
"Lieutenant Daruno, move us to Lunar Lagrange 4, 1/4 full. Tell Lieutenant Commander Cho to trickle charge our slipspace capacitors."
"Aye, sir."
She tapped in the commands, cursed, and then backspaced and retyped them correctly.
Daruno needed sleep. They all did.
But he'd keep her in play a little longer. There was no one to replace her, and this would be over, one way or the other, very soon. "Covenant fleet on screen," Lash ordered Waters. "Rescan and give me a full spectral analysis."
"All sensors on target,"
Waters replied. Rainbows played over the central view screen, building composite images from radiation far infrared to soft gamma, and 14 Covenant ships resolved, clustered together in a spherical formation 300,000 kilometers distant. To Lash, they looked like hungry sharks, ready to pounce on a few sardines. Their spectral analysis, however, painted a different picture. Thermal blooms and radiation leaks spewed in helical showers from the vessels. They'd been damaged by Admiral Patterson's Alpha Strike and the captured plasma redirected by the alien drones. The enemy was sitting there making repairs, in all likelihood frothing from their split mouths to get back in the fight and go another round with the UNSC battle group. Patterson, however, had another plan. Hit them first. Hard. "Activity from Onyx on the E-band?" Lash asked Yang.
"No, sir,"
Not a flicker since that ONI AI took care of the alien drones.
Lash wondered how the AI and Spartans on the planet had neutralized the alien fleet. Had they recovered some new super weapon? However they did it, he promised he'd personally shake every one of their hands.
"Continue to monitor all UNSC bands," he told Yang. "Those Spartans might need a lift."
"Action on screen," Waters announced.
The camera snapped aft and centered on the silver moon. In the twilight regions on either side of the moon, magnetic accelerator cannons flared, briefly illuminating the now-split UNSC battle group in high orbit. Slugs of steel and tungsten rocketed into space, curving slightly from the gravitational distortion, streaking toward the Covenant ships. The Covenant ships broke formation. One Mach slug cleanly missed. Three hit. The targeted ships lit as their shields absorbed the massive kinetic energy. They careened backward, slowed, and stopped, undamaged from the single Mach strikes. Covenant ships turned and accelerated toward the moon. The Mach salvo had done precisely what Admiral Patterson had hoped, tweaked their collective noses, and gotten them good and mad. The UNSC battle group maneuvered behind the moon, denying the enemy a clean line of fire. "Set EMP dampers," Lash said, trying to control his rising adrenaline. "Shut down primary and secondary computers."
"Aye, sir,"
Daruno and Yang said together. They scrambled to isolate the Dusk's delicate electronics from the impending nuclear blasts. The Covenant battle group divided, each half moving to opposite sides of the moon, taking flanking positions where they could blast the hiding human ships into oblivion with their plasma. What they couldn't see on their approach vector, however, was Admiral Patterson's fleet, backing directly away from the moon.
"Enemy vessels approaching distal radius of Alpha and Beta minefields," Daruno reported.
"Arm Alpha and Beta fields," Lash whispered. Yang fidgeted and said,
"Command sensor, and confirmation received across the board."
That Covenant fleet was about to find out why UNSC battle groups always had a prowler assigned to their ranks. They were the sneak thieves and spies of the UNSC fleet, capable of behind enemy lines recon, rescue missions, and, under the right conditions, the pinpoint placement of a nuclear minefield.
"Proximal enemy group now in the center of Alpha Field," Daruno announced. Her hands shook. "Distal group crossing the terminal line of Beta Field."
"Remove safety interlocks," Lash said. Yang nodded and typed in the code words that made the 16 nukes hot. The red inferno button on Lash's command console lit. He set his thumb next to it, and it beeped, verifying his biometric signature. He then flipped up the clear protective cover, inserted the master key in the adjacent slot, and turned it.
"Proximal group approaching terminal plane," Daruno said. "Beta group of ships now centered in distal field."
"Here goes nothing," Lash whispered. "Here goes everything." He pressed the button, and it made a satisfying click. On either side of the moon, seven tiny suns flashed into existence, ballooned, and enveloped the Covenant battle groups. The collective nuclear fireballs cooled to yellow and then dull red. Even with vacuum-enhanced loads, nuclear warheads in space did not persist a fraction as long as aerial or ground bursts. The destructive clouds thinned to translucency, and a glittering haze of cooling metal formed an expanding halo around the planetoid. Inside this silver confetti, however, larger shimmering patches resolved, the energy shields of four surviving Covenant destroyers. Admiral Patterson moved his fleet toward the moon and opened fire. Mach rounds tore through space, and behind them, Archer missiles traced lacy paths of exhaust through the vacuum. Two Covenant ships sluggishly changed course and intercepted the Mach slugs. Their distressed shields shattered, and their hulls cratered inward. Fire fountained as their plasma lines vented. Flocks of Archer missiles dove into the injured ships, and explosions punctuated armor and propulsion grids. The crippled ships turned toward the moon, and in slow motion, tumbled toward their surface. The UNSC battlegroup continued their charge. Four warships against the last two wounded Covenant destroyers. Not entirely impossible odds. Lash imagined that 100 years in the future, historians might look back at this moment and declare it the turning point of humanity's struggle. That they'd fought and defeated the Covenant at Onyx, won the prize of alien technology, and gone on,
not only to survive, but to win their long struggle. He had secretly believed that they could not win this war for so long. Lash barely recognized the emotion that coursed through him now. Hope.
Covenant ships on new heading, Lieutenant DeRuno said. She chewed on her lower lip, and a tiny drop of blood appeared. Intercept course, sir.
On screen, the last two enemy destroyers accelerated toward the moon. An extrapolated trajectory appeared. A slingshot orbit that would bring them around and back and straight toward the dusk. Get primary computers online, Lash ordered. Cho, what's our slipspace status? Over the comm, Cho's voice crackled with static.
Capacitors at 80% and draining. I'll need full engine power for 2 more minutes.
Understood, Lash replied. 2 minutes could be forever. Continue dark protocols, he ordered Yang. Lock down all external systems.
To Lieutenant DeRuno, he said. Use docking jets to present minimal aspect to the incoming vessels while they're on the blind side.
Aye, sir.
She activated the thrusters and tapped the joystick to manually reposition the ship. On screen, the moon tilted as they realigned. The Covenant destroyer pair emerged from the far side of the moon and grew larger on screen. Sleek and dangerous as hell, their gray-blue hulls bore down on the dusk.
Replot their course, Lash told Lieutenant Commander Waters.
Waters stood over his station, checked and rechecked his numbers.
Not an intercept course, he whispered, but damned close.
A coincidence? Or had the enemy seen them and were coming for revenge?
Stay dark, Lash ordered. There was little else they could do.
The destroyer's smooth blue curves filled their viewscreens. Lash felt the butterflies in the stomach sensation of quantum fluctuations from the Covenant repulsor engines. The dusk tumbled and spun. The viewscreen cleared, revealing a rotating field of untwinkling stars.
31 meters off the port bow, Waters breathed.
Repulsor wake has set us adrift off the Lagrange point, sir,
Lieutenant DeRuno said.
Let us drift, Lieutenant, Lash said. Fix cameras on the Stalingrad.
The spinning stars on the viewscreen slowed and then centered on the 4 UNSC warships as they rounded the moon at flank speed, chasing the 2 Covenant destroyers.
They're lining up for a shot, Waters said. They've got 6 max slugs left. That should be enough.
Energy spike, Yang shouted. Not from our ships. Not from the Covenant vessels either, sir.
Location?
Lash asked, and he pushed himself out of the captain's chair. Yang shook his head, opened his mouth, but no words came out. Waters went to the sensor op station and looked.
Power profile indicative of a slipspace field, he said. A big one. Deconvoluting signature? Location is...
His features went slack.
Everywhere.
The space around the UNSC fleet rippled, and blue lines appeared, connected and intertwined like waves of sapphire water. Slipspace fields ruptured normal dimensions, and Cherenkov radiation dazzled the night, as dozens of Covenant destroyers, carriers, and cruisers appeared. Swarms of them formed a phalanx between the UNSC battlegroup and the 2 surviving enemy vessels.
Counting 32 Covenant ships, Yang croaked.
Lieutenant DeRuno froze at her station, eyes wide with terror.
The Covenant armada fired. Spotlight energy projectors flashed, and pure white light cleaved the dark. The UNSC ship's titanium armor boiled and vaporized, mixed with venting oxygen, and photonic pressure blasted the flames into wavering plumes. Archer missiles and magnetic accelerator cannons fired in a desperate counterstrike. The missiles detonated a fraction of a second along their flight paths, high explosives heated to the flashpoint. 4 max slugs rocketed through the energy projector cones, fireballs of liquefied metal. 3 missed, 1 hit, spattering uselessly on Covenant shields. 32 lines of plasma heated, detached, and arced toward the human fleet, striking critically damaged vessels, blasting craters, ripping through inner decks, until the superstructures buckled and inner atmospheres decompressed in large bursting bubbles upon the now molten hulls. The Covenant armada ceased fire and slowly advanced. Admiral Patterson's ships had been reduced to a field of debris in a matter of seconds.
pinpoint lasers fired from the enemy ships as they destroyed escape pods.
Incoming debris, Waters warned.
We need to do something, Lieutenant DeRuno whispered.
What had been a victorious battle group chasing down a doomed enemy was now tumbling, half-melted prows and glowing reactor cores. A floating graveyard. Ghosts. The hope that Commander Richard Lash had felt was forever gone.
Do nothing, Lash told them.
If anything hits us, sir, Waters said, assuming we survive the impact, the deflection angles will give away our position.
This close to so many vessels, Lash replied. So would maneuvering. He went to Lieutenant DeRuno at the nav station. Hang tight, he told her. Her eyes shone with tears, but she nodded and gripped the edges of her seat. Lash checked his wristwatch and made sure it was wound tight. The Covenant Armada moved closer, blotted out the starlight, and covered the dusk with shadow.